Can we take a few minutes now to discuss the Chinese balloon? I know. That was so a week ago that Americans were transfixed by the alleged spy balloon floating across the country. It was like we were all in the movie Up. Some of us rooting, not for spying, of course, but for the balloon, which was brought down off the coast of Myrtle Beach. And then three more unidentified flying objects, kapow, all brought down by U.S. Sidewinder missiles, which cost $400,000 apiece. And we still don't know what those objects were, although one is thought to have been a $13 balloon belonging to amateur hobbyists in the North Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade, a group of friends who took their name from the film Up. Okay, so that's sort of wacky, and we smell another movie in the making, but this is also serious business. The Chinese balloon damaged the already tense relationship between the U.S. and China, reminded us anyone can float anything above us, and everyone seems to be, and that this is well known. Last week, we spoke with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. She and a bipartisan group of lawmakers spearheaded the expansion of an office at the Department of Defense to track all of this stuff. It's called the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
So these type of objects have been seen in our skies for many, many years, for decades. And because of that, we needed an office to review every single unidentified aerial phenomenon to assess what it is. More than half were balloons. Two or three dozen were UAS, which is unmanned aircraft systems like drones. And then a handful were clutter or birds or other kind of debris.
So this isn't some big surprise, some widening of the aperture, as we've been hearing. Nor, apparently, was it a surprise to Paul Fedkowitz, who's president of the Kmont Consolidated Industries Company. It's the country's biggest manufacturer of balloons based in Florida. He's with us now. And Paul, have I got this right? You were not stunned by the news of a balloon?
Not at all. I was more stunned by the Chinese spy balloon taking the course that it did. What didn't surprise me, you are correct, is the fact that there are, on any given day, hundreds of balloons floating over the country.
Talk about your knowledge of this and your balloons. What do they do?
So our balloons are used primarily by National Weather Service. There's 92 sites across the country where twice a day at the same time they launch a balloon that starts out at about 6 to 8 feet and bursts at 18 to 20 feet at 110,000 feet. And that provides an instant snapshot of the weather over the country.
And when you say bursts, do you mean explodes?
Yes, it takes a radiosonde package to altitude, and then 99% of the time, it's a perfect milk drop burst where the balloon bursts into thousands of pieces, which mitigates any environmental impact. And the package then floats back to the ground.
Well, and this is the concern, we should say, of environmentalists about this story. They're saying it's bringing into the headlines again the notion that for years they've been complaining about some of these aerial balloons because, you know, when they're not manufactured to burst into tiny pieces, the strings come down and kill animals. It wrecks the environment. You're saying that these are a little more environmentally safe.
Yes, our balloons are natural latex. The strings are cotton strings, which degrade over time. And with the advent of electronics becoming lighter and lighter, you really don't have a need for parachutes anymore, which is also mitigating the environmental impact of the object that lands.
Yeah. So most of your customers are people doing this kind of research. But what is your sense of, you know, just how many of these flying, floating objects are in the air?
Well, you know, there's designated test ranges across the country that have special projects or mission requirements. SpaceX is a great example of a mission requirement. Before they launch a rocket, there's 12 balloons to 24 balloons going up every hour before launch, up to 24 hours before launch, one balloon an hour, just to make sure that everything's right and making sure there's no thunderstorms, no possible reactions with the atmosphere on liftoff. And then you have your military artillery test ranges, such as Yuma Proving Grounds. So depending on mission requirements, you might have dozens to a few hundred balloons up.
Well, but we're reading that the Weather Service alone has 60,000 balloons a year in the U.S., and other countries have similar numbers. It's well known by people like you and in the industry, there's a lot going on up there.
Yes, there is a lot going on. And those 60,000 balloons are 92 sites twice a day. 200 balloons a day, 365 days a year. But there's a lot going on up there to benefit us down here. It's all about protection of property and life safety. It's not just a convenience to know your weather a week out or a few days out. It's also life safety.
Well, isn't that part of the irony that you were feeling when all of this suddenly came into the news? That somehow they were all converted into these nefarious threats when in fact they are protective in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. You have the life safety issue, and then you have on the military side of things, you know, our troops depend on balloons to give some readings before they launch an artillery strike or before we fly a Black Hawk into enemy areas. We need to know what the winds are doing. We need to know the altitude of the clouds. So we're flying smaller balloons and using a stopwatch to see how high the clouds are or how low the clouds are so we can safely parachute out of a low-flying plane. I mean, there's so many things that are important to our defense and our protection of us as a country. We supply the best product we can to get the job done. And when something like this happens, it brings attention. And it's important for people like me to get out there and just and really explain what the good that these balloons are doing.
Are you feeling a little defensive, Paul Fetkowitz?
not defensive, almost on the offensive, you know. We are so proud of what we do here in support of the daily operations of this country.
Well, but then there's everybody else, because there's thousands of balloons for the uses you just named. But then there are independent researchers, maybe from, you know, academics, and there are hobbyists, as we're hearing, because maybe there might be people kind of filtering in there that don't have good intentions. What would you like to see?
You know, you really don't need permission to launch a balloon. So you have your middle school, high school, university level students. You have your amateur high-altitude balloonist that takes a video camera up to 110,000 feet for the purposes of seeing the curvature of the Earth. And things like that are very exciting. We do try to vet our customers. Our balloons, they go up, they pop. The ham radio operators, they like to have a long floating balloon that floats around the globe. We really don't get involved in that.
Yeah. Well, but as you know, the Biden administration said they shot down the three other objects because they thought they were a threat to aviation because of the airspace they were in. And there are lawmakers calling for legislation. Senator Mark Kelly, who's a former astronaut and a pilot, says he used to see these things all the time piloting a plane. Kirsten Gillibrand told us one of the biggest problems in the military is that pilots are discouraged from talking about these sightings because the military doesn't want to get dragged into the whole UFO thing. Do you want to see more regulation?
I don't mind regulation, because the research that's being done should continue to be done for science. I wouldn't have a problem with the notification to FAA upon an amateur launch. To me, a balloon that provides data, experiments for middle school students, I think that's very important, because you know, even the STEM program is now using balloons. And if it means to notify the FAA or any other agency, if they create a separate agency to marry all of these projects together under one roof, I don't have a problem with that.
Mark Kelly wants to require weather balloons to carry a small transponder that could communicate with air traffic control. But in the meantime, we rely on people like Paul Fetkowitz, again, a president of this Kmont Consolidated Industries and maker of some of these huge balloons. And you've said that it's up to you to decide who gets to get a balloon from you. What will you not allow?
Most of the projects are pretty benign. Sometimes it's fairly easy to tell, you know, when you're on the phone with somebody and we just politely say, you know, we just can't supply you.
Because why? What are they going to do with it?
Well, we've had some strange requests. Yeah, I'd just rather not say anything. I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay, well, let's just say don't think you're going to be loading your private tank into a balloon. You have had some really interesting requests. Tell us about the music request.
Yeah, we had a couple of requests. We had a Jack White album and a Pink Floyd album being flown into the atmosphere that broke the record for the highest playing album. That was one of our strange requests, but it was fairly benign, so we allowed that to happen.
Dark Side of the Moon. Paul Fetkowitz, thank you so much. He's president of Kmont Consolidated Industries, the country's biggest manufacturer of balloons based there in Florida. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care, Robin.